Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Mike Shope.
I have these notes, but I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today.
And the Bulldog.
Pretty cool. Pretty damn cool.
Woo! On WGR.
Come on! Get up! Come on, get up if you're as psyched as I am.
Sports Radio 550.
Quick add to that ESPN story is that apparently some of the Monday night games will be on ABC now. They can move games to ABC. Maybe it's like the best matchups that they would do that for. I don't know, but that's different. Welcome back. I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is off today. Sneaky Joe is here. And oh boy, Sigmund Bloom is here on the West Shore Hotline. The great man, Sigmund Bloom. Sigmund, my turn to ask the questions.
Yeah, hey, I welcome any interactions we can have.
Thank you. We'll get some Bills in here quickly in our conversation. Deshaun Watson is such a big story, and there's more back and forth on him today. From a fantasy football standpoint, Sigmund Bloom with us from Football Guys, what are the effects here? Like, are you seeing, or would you yourself be like extra careful on Watson or everybody having to do with Houston, or is it instead like too much of a leap at this stage to think that he might not play at all?
It's not too much of a leap. And I think for him and his agent to take such a strong stance publicly and not follow through, you know, agents are businessmen, and it would certainly make players in the future not trust the agent to follow through or otherwise make them look foolish by taking these public stands. We're in an interesting moment here, Mike, where the player empowerment era is being tested, if it can jump at least to quarterbacks in the NFL. I think that if you have Watson as your only quarterback on your dynasty team, or if you're doing early best ball drafts, you're certainly having to plan on Watson, you know, at least a 50-50 chance of not playing early in the season. And once he misses the first game, he could miss the whole season, a la Le'Veon Bell. So who would it implicate? Maybe Will Fuller, maybe Brandon Cooks, both of those players. David Johnson, you know, we heard about Duke Johnson getting released today. David Johnson they want to keep. So, but really, I think, yeah, stay away from Houston as soon as we figure out who's even going to be in the Texans offense.
Assuming it doesn't change, the situation doesn't change for the next several months here, Sigmund, when is the best time as a dynasty owner to try and pounce and maybe be able to, you know, get a good deal for him?
After week one.
Okay.
Because I think that anybody who has him won't be convinced that it's going to materially hurt their fantasy team until he misses a game. And I think, again, that's when the Le'Veon Bell case will seem right. Very instructive. Because if he misses one game, he's just as likely to miss one more as he is to miss 15 more. And it just depends on whether this Texans front office will cave to him. And from all outward indications I can see, Mike, we can't really use a rational decision matrix when predicting what they're going to do.
Yeah, I guess not. All right, well, that one will need to be watched. How about Russell Wilson in this way? I think it's different.
Yeah. Oh, it is different. I think in part because just from the outside looking in, and really the outside looking in is like the inside for the Houston situation, it's reasonable to understand why a player like Watson, who's only 25, would say, I don't want my prime years to be attached to this organization. Whereas Russell Wilson, I think, is just trying to speak to his partner in a way through the media because the relationship is really chilly. Now, Mike, we might say, I don't put a number on it, but the higher percentage chance of either of these quarterbacks being traded is Watson.
Mm-hmm.
But the higher percentage chance of either of these quarterbacks being traded before the season, it's probably Wilson, because we know that Seattle's going to be rational and they don't have their next two first-round picks because of the Jamal Adams trade. they may realize, and by they it might be, you know, Pete Carroll, that Russell Wilson isn't necessarily the best fit. Look, he's, what, 32? So maybe the delay in the Deshaun Watson action could create the market for the Seahawks to get about the same for a 32-year-old Russell Wilson as the Texans would get for a 25-year-old Deshaun Watson if they just were being honest with themselves about the situation.
Yeah. You know, Sigmund, we've been – it's talk radio, right? We're very excited about the possibility of there being lots of different quarterbacks on new teams. I kind of – I'm always rooting for it. Wilson, Watson, all of them. I sort of root for the change. We even in here had a draft a few weeks ago where we pick teams and get points based on how experienced their new quarterback is. Joe here struck with the Rams, who got Matthew Stafford and scored big there. And so from a fantasy standpoint, what can you do as a player to try to capitalize on this? If it's not too broad a question, maybe it is, because all these situations are different. But is there a certain mindset for the fantasy player when this is all sort of in the air?
Well, just like any other situation, Mike, I think this is what you're describing really is the game of the offseason, right? Because we have free agency and we have the draft, and you can take stands. You can basically, the same way you can in betting markets now, you can bet on what's going to happen and benefit if it doesn't. If you're wrong, you know, you may take a hit. But, you know, take the Jets, for instance. I think that it's highly likely that they're going to end up with Zach Wilson at number two, who is an excellent passer, very refined passing quarterback. And when you add that in to the Adam Gase bounce that we've seen when Gase leaves somewhere or a player gets to play outside of his umbrella, then they start to fulfill their talents. You know, maybe this is a time to look at Denzel Mims. Somebody who could have his arrow pointing up. And also, I think you're just judging these organizations. You know, is Chicago going to get a quarterback? You know, that's a good one to think. Maybe Mitchell Trubisky is going to start again in week one because I don't trust them to adequately address their quarterback because they haven't done it in the entire length of the Pace Nagy regime. So, you know, Allen Robinson, who you might project to be tagged again, you are going to project growth for. So I think it's just like the classic Wayne Gretzky skating to where the puck's going to be, not where it is.
Yes, you're right to correlate it to the betting markets. Thinking about how the Bucks last year at this time were huge odds to win the Super Bowl. They go and get Tom Brady and then almost ended up the favorite and then, of course, won it. One quarterback not moving, Josh Allen. So just to preface this question, I mean, fantasy football for most people is July and August. But there are leagues, Dynasty is booming in popularity, that go year-round, and this can be an active time. And I've been in a couple of drafts already. Allen is the quarterback, too. Yeah. Mahomes is one, Allen is two, and then it can be different guys at three. Is that how you see it? Is that how you see it staying?
Yeah. Well, he had that one hiccup. It was a little bit weather-based. I think he was starting to put more on his shoulders. And, of course, there's the lasting image of the AFC Championship game where the whole team seemed to shrink. But I think as far as the fantasy layers here, one is that I hate to say it because I love John Brown's game. He's not going to be back with the team. I think that's a formality. So you're looking at Gabriel Davis and Dawson Knox, who had a nice touchdown run at the end of the year, as players whose arrows could be pointing up. And then hopefully an improved running game. I think that's definitely going to be the top of the offseason priority list, some infusion of talent, running back in some way, or focus on the running game. But overall, we should only expect the offense to be better than it was this year.
Would you be off of the Bills, the two running backs they have, Singletary and Moss, entirely?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I think that, you know, well, this is just a team. If we're simulating, what is this team going to do? I mean, maybe make a run at J.J. Watt. But otherwise, I think one of the things that was exposed in the AFC title game is if you're not presenting a threat, a credible threat of a running game, it still makes you easier to defend in the playoffs. Maybe not in regular season, but in the playoffs, things get tighter.
Right. Sigmund Bloom of footballguys.com, our guest. I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is off today. Staying with the Bills. Stephon Diggs in a PPR league, wide receiver, what, and is he in the? Does he have a shot at the first round when it's said and done?
Wide receiver two, I would say.
Two.
I mean, weigh him against Tyreek Hill, maybe Tyreek Hill too. Davante Adams is going to remain number one, but you know, Diggs, if anything, could get better, because again, Diggs was one of those players that blew up this idea, DeAndre Hopkins to an extent too, that wide receivers with new teams right. are players to avoid in fantasy drafts because they're going to take a hit. And I think that Diggs, if anything, showed that he's the alpha that he wanted to be, the alpha that the Bills were hoping to get. And again, without John Brown, that increases his ceiling too.
And, you know, this is simplistic, but he really didn't have the touchdowns. And you might think that an even bigger year can come for him. Maybe not the same level leading the league in catches and yards, but if the touchdowns, he had 8, that's a good number, but it's not nowhere near the league lead. So maybe there's a bounce in that direction, too, that could even substantiate your thinking on Diggs.
And 3 came in week 16. So, I mean, that's a lot of room for growth.
That's right, that's right. So, Sigmund, the top of these drafts that I've been in, one name that's new to the top 5 at least, or top 6 maybe this year, is Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
You have several running backs going into year 2, and Taylor, in terms of these drafts, is at the top of the list. Maybe DeAndre Swift would be second. He's one name for that consideration. What about Taylor up above players like Saquon Barkley and even Derrick Henry? Would you be up for that?
No, I'm not saying it's impossible that it will look right in hindsight, but I do think we have to still entertain the possibility of Marlon Mack coming back to the Colts on a very inexpensive deal coming off of an injury. I do think that Carson Wentz is only going to be good for Taylor, but also we have to take into account that Wentz isn't going to target running backs the way that Phillip Rivers did. That's bad for my man, Nyheim Hines. But, you know, Taylor does seem like the best second-year running back to take, but at the same time, even somebody like Ezekiel Elliott, I think it's somebody going behind him in a lot of drafts, and I'm not sure that is called for when we look at what Elliott did with Dak Prescott in the lineup. So you want to get ahead of these value growth, but you know, you take a player like Josh Jacobs, for instance, who was about a third round value in his rookie year. People took him in the late first, early second round last year, and he ended up being about a third round value again last year.
Right, and Miles Sanders too in that in that category. How about Cam Akers? There's definitely a hype train there. Maybe he should be the number two guy on that list, second year players.
Yeah. And I would probably take him over DeAndre Swift, even though Swift's going to get as much work as he can handle under Anthony Lynn. And really what this highlights, Mike, is you can make a list of your top 20 fantasy running backs right now, and you're probably going to have somebody, say, between 10 and 15 that everybody else has between 15 and 20 because it's that deep. You know, maybe it's David Montgomery. Maybe it is Miles Sanders who's falling to the third round in the law draft. So you shouldn't feel like you have to take a running back in the first round this year because the names and quality is going to be better than what we usually see in the second and third round.
I agree with that. So in FFPC drafts, that's one fantasy football site that a lot of avid players use, they have a certain scoring feature that you don't usually see in other places, which is tight ends get 1.5 per reception. Sigmund, I know you know this. So tight ends get 1.5. That vaults Travis Kelce into the top 3 sometimes in these drafts. In fact, and I'm going to get to this, I'm not in love with Kelce going into next year at this early stage, but in that particular format, I'll do it. Then I get done with so I've done 2 of those teams, Sig, and I get done with those drafts, and I'm like, where are my good players? I got Swift, maybe I've got Chris Godwin, but taking Kelce up top sort of leaves you a little bit wanting on the rest of your roster. So in most leagues where you don't have that particular scoring feature, he won't be picked in the top 3 probably, but he'll still be picked in the first round, I bet.
Yeah.
Where do you want to end up with him?
Well, I'm okay with saying maybe instead of Kelce in the first, let's go Kittle in the second or Waller in the second. But I think that where that really comes back to help you is in the fantasy playoffs when you have Kelce or Kittle or Waller and your opponent is starting Cole Kmet, you know, just rubbing 2 sticks together. Because last year, look, even the tight ends like Mark Andrews or TJ Hawkinson, that we would look at as rounding out the top five in most drafts right now. It was a roll of the dice. Some weeks you got 2 points, some weeks maybe you got 10 or 15, but they weren't players that could make your week like Waller and Kittle and Kelsey can. And then you count on good management and good drafting to build your running backs and wide receivers. In other words, after last year, we saw it's easier to get something that works at running back and wide receiver as the year goes on than tight end. If anything, tight end got thinner and more difficult as the season went on.
How are you on Waller, by the way? You mentioned him as the tight end three. That's probably where he lands, although you do see two for him.
Yeah. How can you argue with what he did? You know, he had one of the top 10 individual games for a tight end in NFL history in fantasy terms.
Right, the Jet game.
And he never really dropped off after that. So, you know, he looks like a player that, if we look at Henry Ruggs, look, Nelson Agholor may or may not be back. Well, who else is there to demand targets anyway? So I think we're seeing Waller really come into its prime. And it gives us hope of some potential late bloomers at the position. You know, somebody like David Njoku, Mo Alie-Cox, some of these hyper-athletic guys who, because of injuries or opportunity, haven't put it together yet. Because that was basically Waller's profile 2 years ago. Logan Thomas, who's a little bit older, but still, you know, these are guys that we can see that we didn't give much of a thought, or, you know, in Njoku's case, we kind of abandoned, but it may still be something there.
Logan Thomas, who passed through here. What do you think of Troutman where you live in New Orleans?
Yeah, they love him. And Jared Cook's not going to be back. I think that if we're handicapping the quarterback situation here, Mike, what is it, like 90% it's going to be Winston? I would love it to be Taysom Hill, but I think they are planning on Winston's. It's his job to lose at this point, and that's good for Troutman, and they're very happy. And look, when the Saints trade up for these players in the second day, or even let's look back at Jimmy Graham, who they took in the third round, you know, they generally hit on these guys. Alvin Kamara is another guy they traded up for. I trust Mickey Loomis when it comes to identifying talent that fits in their offense.
I just said earlier in passing how Dynasty is booming, and there are players who are avid this time of year, I being one of them, and some listeners might not think so or really feel that. Your site, Football Guys, indispensable. I mean, so good for all kinds of players, DFS too. What is right now for you at work? What is the, you know, what are you focusing on?
Early rankings, trying to take advantage, like we already talked about, getting ahead of certain situations and free agency in the draft, taking advantage of a value lag that we can see coming. Rookies, learning the rookies in the draft, that's just fun. I mean, the more you understand these players, the more meaningful the draft is, the more you pick your guys that you like. Look, we've seen rookie wide receivers the last 2 years be really important players in fantasy leagues. Justin Jefferson was a player that gave you a much better chance to win if you ended up with him. And this year's class of wide receivers presents a lot of possibilities for another Justin Jefferson. So I think that's where you can start, is just getting to know this great wide receiver class.
Right on. All right, Sigmund, this has been fun as always. Yeah. Any questions for me?
Is Bulldog okay? Everything all right?
He's in Texas watching his son play hockey.
Oh, that's great.
If that seems a little sort of counterintuitive, I don't think you would think so, but his son plays for a team in New Mexico.
Right. Wow. I was just in New Mexico. Well, you know, you mentioned Texas and hockey. I understand that is traumatic for your listeners.
99? I guess. All right, Sigmund, I'm already looking forward to our next chat. Thanks for today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mike. I look forward to it.
Thank you. Sigmund Bloom of footballguys.com. Yeah. Let me know if you're sort of new to like the year-round fantasy world. I'm starting a new Empire League. Joe turned me down. He's already in enough.
I'm in too many.
Empire Niagara. I'll have to remember. I'll have to check myself when I come in here like I do every day and think about a trade offer or something. I'd be like, remember, Joe is not in that league. So just watch it.
That means you'll get my unbiased opinion, though. I could be trying to work you in another league.
That's right. That's right. I offer you that in a couple that you're in. One is called Rust Belt.
Yep. One's chaos, that league. You need to have at least a couple dynasty leagues, I think. Not too many. Everyone has their different number.
I think I'm in
I'm
eight.
At You're at 8 dynasty leagues?
Without the new one.
I think I'm at 5 and I'm like tapped out. Like that's it.
I have 4 drafts in March and none of them is football.
Also, I'm on top of that, I have to also consider guillotine leagues.
Guillotine.
Which I didn't have to do last year because I only played 1 week.
1 week you were out.
Of guillotine leagues.
Right.
So I have to also remember that I've got one more league, hopefully, next year that I didn't have last year.
If you love all this action, just wait. Here's something else. March Madness, the NCAA basketball tournament, is, well, Selection Sunday's in 16 days. Sigmund is kind of an old friend. Joe Lunardi is somebody I talked to many times when I worked weekends at ESPN. He's next. He's got a new book, Bracketology. Stay tuned, and we'll talk some hoops with Joe Lunardi after the update. This is Mike Schoep with Sneaky Joe. Bulldog is off today, and you're listening to WGR. Hoping to hear from Bracketology creator, Joe Lunardi of ESPN. He's scheduled for 4:30. I'm just waiting for his call. Mike Schoep here with Sneaky Joe. Bulldog is in Texas today. Some things we end up talking about were not planned, like last hour when we did a couple of driving stories. All because Joe knows somebody who's moving to North Carolina.
Right, that's where that started.
Do you know my driving story from the night of the Bills-Packers game, the last time the Packers were here? So the Bills beat Rodgers, Mario Williams, that team, Marone?
No.
I had my wife's car. I don't remember why. I had her car out at the stadium. It was December, I think, and we're there until the post-game show is over. So it's dark when I leave. And her car had a headlight out. So I'm driving home. I'd go different ways depending on just like what the traffic looked like or which way I sort of get flushed out into the from the parking lot, whatever. Ended up just in Orchard Park, not like on the highway yet, on the 190 yet or the 219. And I got pulled over for having the headlight out. So the officer came over and he says, "Do you know you have a headlight out?" I'm like, "I did. It's my wife's car, you know." You're right. I don't think I apologize either because, like, geez, I knew I had it. What am I apologizing for exactly? So he's like, "All right, well, just get it taken care of." And he let me go. Appreciated that. Thanked him. Then I got on the 190 and I was just south of downtown and I got pulled over again. Same trip home. I got pulled over again. So now I'm, you know, off to the, on the side on the 190 north. I can see downtown. You know, I'm about maybe half a mile out. And the officer comes up. He said, "Did you know you had a headlight out?" I said, I did. It's my wife's car. I did know that. And he said, then I said, "In fact, I've already been pulled over on this same drive home from the stadium." I worked at the stadium, and I've already been pulled over once. This is twice. I wasn't, like, sarcastic about it. I'm just like, you know, yeah. And he said, "Did the other officer give you a ticket?" And I said, "No." He said, "Well, I'm gonna." And he got all like sort of loud. I'm not letting you get away with this. Like, okay. So I got a ticket.
Oh, he wasn't like sarcastic.
No. No, he was almost like angry. Maybe he was, you know, I don't know how the police world works. Like if you found out that somebody else let you off for something, maybe you'd be like, "Well, I can't let you off." It's the same drive home. It's not like I went home. It's not like North Carolina, where I got a speeding ticket 4 months ago and didn't do anything about it. This was, I'm not even home yet. It's a Sunday night. I'm not going to pull over and get the headlight fixed. I can't do that right now, I think. Anyway, you know, I deserved it. That's how I look at that stuff. If I had a headlight out, that's an infraction. So fine, give me a ticket. But I remember, just remember him for how like loud he was about it. Like he was all just sort of, yeah. Okay.
I've got a driving story for you. So, World Cup of Hockey 2016, this is 5 years ago, so I think I'm 19 years old. Me and a couple buddies drive up to go to these games.
This is Ralph Kruger as Team Europe.
Yep. In fact, we would have seen one of their games, maybe against the Czech Republic. We were there all day. Like, there were three games. We went to a game at noon. Maybe it was Europe, Czech.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Republic. We went to a game at 5, which I'm forgetting, maybe it was Finland somebody. And then the 8 o'clock game was like 8 o'clock, Team North America, Russia, still one of the best hockey games I feel like I've ever seen in my life. We leave, and I had been to Toronto before as a kid, but I was driving to Toronto before. Never driven to Canada. I was 19, so this is fresh for me. And something about our phones at the time, our phone plans, I don't know what it was. Like, we didn't want to use our phones while we were there. Like, we didn't want to use the maps. We didn't want to use data because of how much it would have cost.
Right.
So we thought we could get out of Toronto without needing maps, like, on our phones. So we end up getting lost in some residential neighborhood right on the water, or at least seemed residential. Like, it's still the city. We're at a red light, and there's a guy that's walking on the cross path in front of us with, like, a full black mask.
Oh.
Like, with hood up. He's wearing all black, like, black gloves. Like, he is, you can't see an inch of this person's skin.
Mm-hmm.
So, me just being like, all right, I'm not waiting anymore. He gets past. I go on red. I could have gone up right anyway. Not paying attention because I'm, like, focused on this person.
Mm-hmm.
I go down the monorail. Or, like, where the monorail comes.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's screaming in the car, you're on the monorail track. I go over the curb on the right.
Yes.
And smack the ground, like, lift up four tires probably off of the ground. And the car is just as loud as possible. Like, must have broke something.
Yes.
And the whole time, like, I'm still going. Like, the car is still moving. I'm like, what happens if we break down in the middle of Toronto and we don't know where
plus that mask guy is around.
Plus that guy is around, too. So the whole ride home, I'm just anxious because, like, is my car about to break down?
Are you
going to
make it? Right.
Like, what happens if your car breaks down in Canada? You're going to get towed.
And that's late at night
but
now.
But can you get it towed across the border? Do I have... Right, it's late at night. It's like midnight, probably, by that point. So somehow that car made it all the way across the border and home. And there was, like, a massive hole in the exhaust.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think I've been to Toronto since.
That's not why. Is that going to be Joe Lenardi?
I think this is going to be Joe Lenardi.
What do you want to do? Got Rachel's fresh pick. Should we break or should we just hang it? Let's just hang out and we'll talk to Joe. Yeah. Kind of a funny day like this. Paul had a thing and now we're having this thing. I think it's like right in between. All right, we're going. Good. Joe Lenardi, this is Mike Shope. It's been a long time. Nice to talk to you again.
Mike, my pleasure. Sorry I'm late. I got attacked by some renegade Syracuse fans.
Well, how did you fare?
My usual with Syracuse fans. I have a love-hate relationship with them. They love to hate me.
And you wouldn't want it any other way, Joe.
That apparently is correct.
All right. Joe Lunardi. I talked to Joe a number of times when I was working weekends for ESPN. Always enjoyed it. I'm not just telling you that either. I've been saying that today. If I didn't feel that way, I just would not say that because I don't need to say it. But I always enjoyed our conversations back then. It's close to 20 years ago now. And he's got a book,
wow.
Bracketology, March Madness, College Basketball, and the Creation of a National Obsession. In those days, 2003, maybe, Joe, what stage were you at with bracketology? It was a thing. We talked about it, but it wasn't, you know, it hadn't been around for too long.
That's a real, wow. So, started doing stuff for ESPN.com in the mid-90s. The first time I was used on air was 2002, the same year that it kind of got its own section within the college basketball pages of ESPN.com.
Mm-hmm.
So it like really kind of, you know, went from like cult to, I don't want to say mainstream, whatever's in the middle of that. And started going up to Bristol. My first selection Sunday, selection weekend, championship week in Connecticut was 2002. And this would have been my 20th in a row, but it looks like I'm not going to Connecticut. I'm told that, you know, there's this bug going around.
Yeah.
And I'm working from the bunker, and it's turning out awfully good.
How will handicapping this tournament, which is not exactly what bracketology is, you're talking about seeds and who deserves to be ranked where, how will handicapping the tournament, this tournament overall, be affected in terms of how you see it playing out, Joe, by the fact that the entire tournament will be played in Indiana, most games in one facility, in Indianapolis? Is that an important factor in your analysis here?
In a word, no. And that may surprise some people. Surprises me, too, you know, before I internalized it. I think that, Mike, the results of the games could be dramatically impacted by all the changes and all the accommodations that need to be made. But I don't know that we'll notice that because the tournament is already really unpredictable. There are very few tournaments in our, you know, basketball lifetime where chalk has prevailed.
Right.
I mean, once, like the tournament expanded 64 plus in 1985. That's 35 plus years ago. Well, in all those years, the number ones have made it through one time. One time. There's not another sport in the world where that could apply. So I think it will be incredibly unpredictable. It just might be a different unpredictable, and to the naked eye, we may not be able to tell the difference or even know what the causes were.
I'm thinking
at the front end, the evaluation of the teams and seeding them and bracketing them, I actually am finding it to be not as COVID impacted as I expected at the start of the season. You know, almost every team involved is still playing, you know, 20, 25 games, sometimes more. And, you know, in our basketball lifetimes, that used to be the length of the college basketball season. And we were able to have a pretty good tournament and make pretty good decisions about who was in it. And I'm just kind of trying to stay on that path.
Joe Lunardi's book, Bracketology, March Madness, College Basketball, and the Creation of a National Obsession, comes out on Tuesday. How many teams for you are in the top tier, teams that you would consider, in a group, favorites to win it?
Well, the very top tier, the elite, is a three-team collection of Gonzaga, Baylor, and Michigan, in whatever order you want to put them in. And one of the reasons I think that it's fair to call them elite is they may be the only three programs that have had extended pauses and not suffered at the other side of it. Because I think they're that good, they're that deep, and they're that experienced. I don't think it's a coincidence that the older, more experienced, most talented teams were able to come out and keep winning without really much of a drop-off. Having said that, you know, again, you can't help but be struck by history that, you know, the thought of all three of them making it through and kind of playing it off, if you will, with another interloper at the Final Four seems unlikely to me. But I can't decide which one to pick against.
That's the,
being
right.
A Final Four team. So, you know, sometimes when you get that piece of paper, that bracket sheet in front of you, you see a path or an obstacle for a team where the matchup, like, I don't know how that would go. Like last night, Hunter Dickinson, the 7-foot freshman from Michigan, made Luka Garza look kind of small. I think that's notable. And, you know, when Iowa's draw comes out, I'm going to look for guys who are in their path who might make Luka Garza look kind of small. I don't know how many of those actually exist outside, like, the NFL. But the formula for holding him down was certainly on full display last night.
With Joe Lunardi of ESPN. Joe, if I want to ask you, because your book is stories, too. I mean, it's not this year so much.
Thank goodness. Yes, it's not about me or about this year. I mean, it touches on all those things. But it's I wouldn't buy a book about me, Mike, so I wouldn't expect anyone else to do that.
Well, how many can you have?
But it's a book about something that we love, which is this great tournament and how it comes together and how it's evolved over the years. And if you're into the tournament, you'll probably like it.
I'm sure. But I want to ask you, like, a favorite tournament or story, but I'm not sure what path I want to take to get into that kind of a question. Like, what comes to mind here? It could be anything, I guess. Like, there are some tournaments, Final Fours, championship games, of course, that are more famous than others. Do you sort of think of them through the numbers, through your predictions or bracketology? Is that how you sort of tend? Does that dictate how you feel about them?
I don't think so. Although that could be a factor. Like when you started to ask the question, the first thing that popped into my head was my St. Joe's Hawks beating DePaul when I was in college in 1981.
All right.
The number one defeated team. Like I couldn't spell bracketology at that point, and Al Gore hadn't invented the internet, so I didn't have a platform.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that was a pretty galvanizing moment in loving the tournament. I thought of being at the Spectrum in Philadelphia the day Ronald Reagan was shot, and the championship game that night between Indiana and North Carolina was a fingernail away from being canceled. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being in Buffalo with the Jameer Nelson teams in 2004, and how much fun that was, and learning that, you know, I don't want to get in trouble here, that a certain bar that rhymes with anchor wasn't really the place to go and get wings, that it was another place that rhymes with dust. So, like, these are important. Like the tournament has taught me a lot of important things, like wings.
Yes,
and I think you need to keep all that in mind. You know, I got to cover the Christian Laettner game. I was at center court. Okay, that was pretty cool.
That's pretty good. That's the Spectrum too.
That was pretty cool. That's right. And you know, I was there in Denver the night that UNLV blasted Duke by 30 and looked like they were ready to win an NBA title. It wasn't a very good game, but it was historic.
Right.
You know, I was in Minneapolis when Duke came way, 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 way from behind to beat Maryland in the national semifinal and postponed the title for the Terps by a year. So, yeah, you could go on and, mm-hmm. and on and on. And I don't know how you rank them. except for maybe Leitner being first.
It's you're right, and I had a tough time with the question. You're not ranking them, you're just listing them. That's great. That's the way to do it, because who wants to waste time trying to put them in order? It's really just about the memories. And yeah, that's right. One more question. Bracketology, did you create the word?
No, I created the word bracketologist, apparently.
Okay.
The research for this, I was actually referred to it as it by a beat writer in Philly 25 years ago yesterday, it turns out, in discussing the various tournament chances of some of the local teams in Philly. And bracketology, or bracketologist, led to bracketology, and you know, then we were off to the races.
How did you how do you happen to remember the date?
Because somebody we uncovered it in the research for the book.
Oh, okay, good.
And then I forgot about it until yesterday when somebody tweeted it
that it was the 25th anniversary of the
I'm pretty
term
sure
being
that
coined
25 years ago. We were neither bracketing nor tweeting in the public domain.
Certainly not in 81.
No,
all right.
That's...
Joe, I'm glad we were able to connect. I think of you fondly. We had lots of conversations, and I wish you all the best with this.
I appreciate it, Mike. Take care.
All right. Joe Lunardi, bracketology, March Madness, college basketball, and the creation of a national obsession. By the way, on the tournament, so... Last year it wasn't played. Other years, all the years, it's famous for those first 2 days, Thursday, Friday, like holidays for sports fans, in essence. Then they added those earlier games, those play-in type games, that would be on Tuesday, maybe also Wednesday night. But you'd still have Thursday noon tip. This year, those first four games are on Thursday. And the big opening day is on Friday. It's all pushed back by a day. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday for those first two rounds. Thought you might not know that. Rachel's Fresh Picks coming up. Joe, are we ever busy here today? Wow. Crazy. Can't even keep up. Phones ringing, telling driving stories. So much to think about. Mike Shope and the Bulldogs. Stay tuned. This is WGR. Time for Rachel's Fresh Picks. I love Rachel's. I also love Rachel's Fresh Picks. Joe and I last week, like, I want to put a hockey game in here, Winnipeg. And Joe was like, I was going to pick Winnipeg. And they won 2-0, rocking chair. If you haven't tried Rachel's, you should. Either lunch, dinner, stop in one of their many, I think it's now 11 locations, Buffalo and Rochester, or catering. That's always fun. It's fresh, delicious. Everybody's happy with Rachel's. Go to rachelsgrill.com to find the Rachel's nearest you. Or download the Rachel's app as well. Catering option is a really popular move. We did it for a birthday party earlier this month. And everybody raves. Grilled chicken, grilled steak, falafel, gyro, chicken shawarma, rice, lettuce, bowls, wraps, pitas, all the different toppings, roasted red peppers, Kalamata olives, Greek dressing, dill sauce, feta cheese, list goes on. Love the catering idea. I know I've said it already. Rachel'sGrill.com, official partner of the Bills and Sabres. I love my Rachel's. You'll love your Rachel's, too. Fresh Picks. We're late. We had Sigmund Bloom, then Joe Lunardi. Joe called in late, but I wanted to make sure to get a few questions in for him. I'll give you three. With Sigmund, talking fantasy, Cam Akers, I'm in. What are the keys? The number one thing in fantasy is volume. And there's every reason to think Cam Akers is the number one back on a Sean McVay offense. Now with a better quarterback, I think. They think. So I think Akers is in a great spot. I think he can be a first-round pick. Akers. Talking basketball with Joe Lunardi. Alabama's not in his first tier. Nate Oates' team is really good for the right price. Maybe they're in the 20-1 range. I don't have it right in front of me like I should. I think they're kind of a fun idea for the tournament. As he says, and anybody with any experience with this thing knows, sure, the number one seeds tend to look like the obvious favorites, but it's rare when they all win. Alabama might be a two or a three. And third, just saw here today at Bet Online, you can bet the Amherst tonight, Joe. Rochester at Utica. if you're in a place mentally where you think that the Sabres are just messing up all the time, and Ruotsalainen is somebody who it seems like 100% should be on this team, but he's on that team, then I think somehow the extension of that is, you know, that Amerks are good.
Not, I like the logic.
They haven't been that good for years either, but plus 148 to win in Utica. At BetOnline, there's also a draw bet, like a soccer game has. Aren't they playing overtime in the
no,
AHL?
I think that would probably just mean regulation.
Regulation?
Yeah.
Okay. Rochester plus 148, Utica plus 118, the draw. That's kind of fun. But it's probably a bad bet. 321. All right. Rachel's fresh picks. A little bit more on Jeff Skinner's situation. He talked today. So did Ralph Krueger. I'll probably go crazy doing a lot of that in the next hour. It is now Friday night. But you certainly want to do some. And if you want to talk about it, please, 803-0550 is the number here. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.